And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. Hope you're having a great day. If you have any questions, send those over to me. You can email me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And if you caught the show last week, we talked last week about who we are as investors, especially at Lifestyles Unlimited, what we're buying and where. Right, different parts of the country. Just for a point of reference, I reside primarily in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, and a lot of my rental houses are here, but I have some down by Houston, and we are invested in multifamily out of state as well, so you don't have to stay just where you live. But we also talked about when we buy. Short answer, all the time, when there's a good opportunity. And why? Why are we investing in residential rental real estate, single-family houses, and apartments? And finally, we also talked very briefly about how. And how simply is, that's just the process, right? All the little bits and pieces that flow into the process whereby we seek out and make an offer on a distressed rental or potential rental house, single family house. We get it under contract. We do our due diligence, all the moving parts there, all the players. Then we finally get to close. We buy it. We get it renovated, we get it leased, and so on. And a big part of the how, a big part of the process that everyone typically has questions about is, well, how are we paying for these houses? And how are we paying for any work needed if it is a property that needs renovation? So we're going to talk today, the focus is strictly on financing, just on that piece of the puzzle. I will dive a little bit into the different loan types so you understand that. And, you know, I want to compare these using a few of these financing options and buying all cash, because I get a lot of questions about, what if I just pay all cash? You know, what yields the lowest out of pocket and what yields the highest returns? Which is the safest route to go? And it may not be the one that you're thinking about. And also, I have an interesting topic. We'll get to this maybe towards the latter half of the show. It concerns mortgage interest. Can you expense that? Well, it depends. I learned this recently. Very interesting stuff. So the focus today is on single-family rental investing. Now, that may include duplexes, if that's your cake, or triplexes or quads, because all four types are treated as single-family when it comes to financing. So the financing I get on any of the single-family houses I bought over the years, I would use that on a duplex or even on a quad. Now, anything greater than a quad, five units or greater, that is considered multifamily, true multifamily. You may say, hey, a quad, four people, that's multi, but it's different. Five units and greater is true commercial, true multifamily, and is handled differently. So the things we talk about today apply to single family. So what are we buying? What are you buying? When you listen to the show, what do you think about buying? Well, it's probably one of two things. It's either a single-family rental house that is rent-ready, already ready to go, or it's one that needs work. You can kind of bisect it like that, can't you? Now, that work, of course, can be on a continuum from pretty minimal, you know, I had a 6K rehab years ago, to pretty massive, and we've seen them approaching 100K. So really, let's say you're buying one of three things. You're either going after a fully rent-ready, zero work needed. You know, let's just take by way of an example, a lot of houses around here may be valuing when they're fixed up, when they're ready to go, rent ready at $250,000. You could go and buy all cash, right? Just pay $250, bam, done. Or maybe use a conventional loan, like a Fannie Mae type product. You put your 20% down, you'd be $50,000 out of pocket, right? Fully rent ready. Now, maybe the house is a rehab house with minimal work, mainly cosmetic. But it needs work, and because it needs work, we are able to get it at a discount. So instead of just going out $250,000, we buy it for $150,000, and we do $46,000 in renovations. When we're done, that yields a value of 250, right? These are apples and apples when they're fixed up. How did I get to 46? Well, I just applied. I'm assuming a 1,500 square foot house. That's bread and butter, middle of the pack, what I love to buy. I'm applying a $25 per square foot for cosmetic, current market. If you're listening to the show in a few years, that number has changed. You know, in a few months, it may have changed. And I'm assuming one of the big ticket items, maybe we have to replace the HVAC. So if I'm buying all cash, buy for $150, do $46,000 in renovations, what am I paying? About $196,000. But I create some extra value there. $250 is my market value. Or if I use the Lifestyles Unlimited model, and I'm going to leave this clouded for a minute. We'll unwrap what that model looks like later. My out-of-pocket's only $30,000. I could get this house for just $30,000, $250,000 value when it's fixed up. Or third type is, again, that rehab house with a full scope of work, you know, and it includes probably multiple of what we call the big five, right? That AC that I just mentioned, that's a big five. This might run us $100,000. Because it does need so much work, and it requires, let's say, $80,000 in work. Again, the value when we're done is the same as the others, $250. Cash, do the math, $180 to buy it and to rehab it. Using the Lifestyles model, I can get that for $14,000 out of pocket. That's my investment. That's what we're going to talk about. How is this, on today's show, how is this even possible? By the way, what are the big five? Foundation repair. Here in Texas, that is a big one. Plumbing, both sewer line and inbound water lines. Electrical. Maybe you have to rewire the house. Who knows? HVAC, the air conditioner, and the roof. You know, rent ready, just a quick aside. I didn't have any notes here to talk about this, but you also have to ask yourself, is it truly rent ready? I've been in houses that have been quote-unquote rehabbed and are rent ready, but really they've got what's called lipstick on a pig. I actually had one of these under contract one time. And it looked really nice on the inside. This was a pier and beam house, and we had our inspections done because we always do our due diligence. We wrote an option period into the contract. This was off market, but we used a TREC, a Texas Real Estate Commission contract, actually engaged one of the Lifestyles Realty team to represent us. Smart thing to do. Here's why. During due diligence, under the foundation, it was a wreck. Guy had painted the house, put that lipstick on the pig, and all the fundamentals were in really bad shape. Guy didn't want to let us out of our contract. Option period, we want our earnest money back. Boy, I'll tell you, that Lifestyles realtor came swinging at that guy, and he bowed very quickly, got our money back, and moved on, right? Option fee, inspection cost, that's the cost of doing business, but we learned really in very firm terms what lipstick on a pig looks like. So be careful if you're looking at rent ready. This is why I much prefer that house that needs $80,000 in repairs over the house that is quote-unquote rent ready, because I control what that looks like at the end of the day. And I know it's done right. So that is something to think about as well. And just as an aside, on top of that, at least if you're buying here in Texas, there are certain rules, certain laws around rental property, things you have to have, like a peephole, like certain types of locks in place, smoke detectors, etc. A lot of property that is, quote, rent ready or is at least retail ready, let's say, doesn't have those things. So be prepared to do some minimal level of work to address those. Now, for our discussion, talking about financing, I want you to understand, this is very important because this will affect our discussion around buying cash or financing. You have to understand how we make money with our houses. Some of these apply if you're a cash buyer, some don't. But bottom line, we make money five ways. As a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, every house I have bought has made me money five ways. Cash flow is the big one. I started out buying for cash flow. Wanted to create that pool, that portfolio of passive income to get my wife retired from a bad, bad job. And we did that in 3 years. So we started focused on cash flow. If it doesn't cash flow, don't do the deal, right? Cash flow. Equity capture, right? I named some numbers there. That house that I buy for 100 and put $80,000 in work, and then at the end of the day is valued at 250. The spread between purchase plus work relative to market value, that represents my equity capture. There's some other moving parts in there. It's just a big gain that I get at the start of the process. And I've got an example I'm going to give you here of an actual property just in a minute. Now, we do put a mortgage in place because we do use financing, and we have something called equity buildup. Every month, the resident pays the rent and de facto pays the mortgage. And of that mortgage, we pay down the principal, we pay some mortgage interest. Every month, that principal balance goes down. That's equity buildup. It's a small number, but can represent a good size gain sometimes. And then there's market appreciation, right? Market, I mean, it goes up over time. over, you know, historically, real estate has doubled in value about every 20 years. That represents about a 3.5% return if you just kind of roughly annualize it. And then there are tax advantages. By the way, tax advantages accrue a little bit better for those with financing than those without sometimes. We'll get to that here later. So I want to give you an example using an example of returns using an actual property, an actual single family house that I could have bought. This was sent to me by one of the Lifestyles Realty team in, where is this? Because I get these in Chattanooga. I get these in Knoxville. Where is this one? I get these in Columbia, South Carolina. This one is around Houston, a little north of Houston, not too far from a couple of my rentals that I have already. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath house, no garage, built in 2021. Wow, pretty new. 1,800 square feet. I told you I like about 1,500. Personally, I'll buy anywhere from 800 to about 2,000. So this is in that bandwidth. You set your own criteria, by the way. But here are the key points. Purchase price, $114,000. Not too far off of what I was describing a minute ago. After repair, price opinion, that's how the realtors say it. Market value, in other words, $225,000. So you can see there's a pretty good spread there, over $100,000. I don't have the rehab scope of work for this one, but just backing into the numbers, it's about $50,000, I can tell you that. Here's the cool part. Because it needs so much work and we're able to get it at a discount, my out-of-pocket on this is about $16,000. What if we'd paid all cash? Well, $114,000 purchase plus $50,000 in repairs is $164,000 plus some closing costs. This is from a wholesaler. So they're going to make us pay closing. They're going to make us pay owner's title. If we're paying all cash, there's no lender's title, so that goes away. But $4,000 to $6,000 in closing costs. Let's call it six, because Andy likes easy math. That takes us to $170,000 all in. Now, I still have a pretty good equity position, right? Market value, $225,000. So I've got $55,000 in equity. Get this. Divide that by your cash invested. What's that put you at? 34%. Not a bad return. And it's got a higher cash flow because there is no mortgage, but it's also calculated against a higher basis, that higher cash invested. So you will have a lower return. With cash purchases, maybe 8%, 10% is possible, often lower. Oh, but then you say, can't you do a cash out refinance and reduce your cash invested and improve your returns? Yes, you can. But I learned something recently about mortgage interest that might actually hurt you in this scenario. We're going to get to that in the second half of the show. But remember this, we make money five ways. So if I add into those equity buildup, you don't get that as a cash buyer. I'm going to make 4 to 10% on my cash. Market appreciation, right? We'll talk about that here, I think, after the break. But here are the big numbers. Estimated cash flow per month, $335. Yes, that is far less than the cash buyer will get because they don't have a mortgage. But my cash on cash return is about 25%. For the cash buyer, 8, maybe 10, right? More than double for us. My estimated out-of-pocket is about $16,000. My equity capture on this is $42,000. So it's a little bit less than for the cash buyer, but I also have so much less cash invested. My return on that cash invested on this gain, 258% versus 34%. So we're making money multiple ways, and our returns are far better as members buying following the model that we follow at Lifestyles Unlimited. We'll get into that model on the back half of the show. Wait till you hear about market appreciation, by the way. This one's interesting. We'll get to that in a minute.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And we're just comparing briefly on using an example property, an actual property that one of the realty team down in Houston, I think I figured this one was. Yeah, Houston sent out to me a week or so ago. These are actual numbers, right? It is a rehab house. And what if I had bought this cash and what if I buy it following the Lifestyles Unlimited model? We saw cash on cash return, for the cash buyer, maybe 8 to 10%. For me as a member following this model, close to 25%. Much larger number there. Absolute cash in the pocket every month will be different because I am paying a mortgage, but it's that leverage that magnifies my returns. We saw that with the equity capture for the cash buyer, that gain relative to cash invested, about 34%. Okay, not bad. Beats the market, yeah. But I get 258% buying with the Lifestyles Unlimited model using financing. And then we do have equity buildup because, as we talked about, there are multiple ways that you make money. That resident pays down the mortgage, and that can be anywhere from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% return. On a lower out-of-pocket investment like this, it's going to be a little bit higher than on the lower side of that bandwidth there. And again, we make money five ways. Let's talk about market appreciation because this one is interesting. For the cash buyer, all of their cash has gone into that house, right? They've got a little bit of equity. And let's say price appreciation in this market is 5%. Well, what is my return? Well, in this example, the house, if you remember, the market value when it was fixed up is $225,000. So we hold it for a year, and in the course of that year, that price appreciates 5%. What is my increase? That's about $11,000 for that year, just in my one-year hold time. Well, take that $11,000, divide it by my cash invested as a cash buyer, $170,000. That's a 6.4% return. Again, that beats the high-interest bank accounts right now. Good job. But what is $11,000 as a percentage of my cash invested following the LU model, buying with financing? You know, my cash out of pocket was $16,000. That's 67% return. Much, much better. Because my cash invested is so low. Now, after your first year of holding this, you really need to look at your total equity in the property at that point to do any calculations going forward. That cash invested, that's old news. The longer you hold this, the less important that becomes because your equity positions do grow so massively. That's why we love real estate, because we make money five ways. Cash flow, yes, that's one. Tax advantages, yes, that's another one. But in between, we've got three different moving parts that are pushing up my equity. And that takes me to my question, why cash or why not all cash? And, you know, first of all, what are some of the reasons you may hear people cite for why they want to pay all cash for a property? Well, maybe they're business owners with a business. I have a buddy that's just like this. His business kicks off a ton of cash. He has a lot of cash. By the way, maybe for you, if this is your situation, it might be better to look at passively investing in multifamily. If you've got a lot of cash to deploy, probably a better way to go. But I don't know about you. When I started this process 12 plus years ago, I did not have a ton of cash. I could not go out and buy any property all cash. Okay, but if they have a lot of cash, that's their thinking. Another thought is, hey, better cash flow. And again, as we've seen, in absolute dollar terms, yes, this is true. You're paying property taxes, you're paying insurance, but there's no mortgage. So no mortgage payment, no principal payment, no mortgage interest. You don't have to worry about that. And the third argument I get a lot is, well, it's safer. Andy, it's safer. I don't have that mortgage. I don't have to worry about paying that bill if something happens and the tenant bails on me, right? Or I have to do an eviction. They say no debt, therefore less to worry about, therefore safer. Why do these arguments really not hold water? Well, if you have lots of cash, sure, I get it. Let's say you have $200,000. You go buy one house. Now what do you have? You have one house. Whereas if I put financing into place, and I absolutely would, I can go out and buy 10 houses with those funds. Higher cash on cash return, plus much better equity gains across 10 properties, right? In terms of equity capture, plus they're all enjoying equity gains from that very equity buildup we talked about, as well as market appreciation. Not just one house appreciating, but 10. You know, in that example of 11K, great, you just made 11K, but I made 110,000, right? So I can buy more houses, spread my funds, get better returns, get my money working for me across multiple platforms. But what about that notion of safety? Well, what is safer? Really think about this for a minute. Having all your cash in one place. Even the government tells you, don't put all your money into one bank. It's FDIC insured up to $250,000. They don't even want you doing that. So why would you go put all of your money into one house? What is safer, all your cash in one house or spread across 10 houses? Let's just go back to what I said a minute ago. You're worried about getting that one bad tenant, right? That one bad renter. Now you can't make your mortgage payment. Well, What if you get one bad resident in your one and only house? Yeah, that could be a problem. That could be a problem. But if you have that happen in 1 out of 10, right? Less so. Of course, if you're following what we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited, we talk not only about this topic of financing, right? Financing for your acquisitions and your renovations, but we also teach you how to lease properly and how to manage properly so that you don't run into these issues. Again, as a guy who's been doing this over a dozen years, I did have one eviction, and it was 13 years ago on my second property because I strayed off course. Since then, I followed the model closely. No issues. No issues. Again, we don't pay all cash because we can buy more properties. We can spread our cash around, get better returns across multiple metrics, get a better cumulative cash flow. If you think about that, if I can buy 10 houses popping $300 apiece, that's $3,000. That's going to beat that one. Plus equity gains across multiple properties. And I will tell you, that sure sounds safer to me. In fact, just thinking back, I don't know what it was about house number four. When we got to house number four, I just felt better. We were having enough cash flow coming in. I slept better. You might think managing four is harder than managing one, but my experience over time is you get processes into place, and it's actually easier. It's actually easier. So let's talk now about the types of financing that you will tap into if you're following what we talk about at Lifestyles Unlimited. There are three main products, let's say. There's hard money. There's a conventional loan. Think Fannie Mae. That's the loan you probably have on your personal house if you own a house. And then there's some type of commercial products. Commonly, people will talk about it, what's called a DSCR loan. Let's get that acronym out of the way. DSCR stands for Debt Service Coverage Ratio. And that simply means that the rent from the property covers the mortgage. And the taxes and insurance, they're going to look at all of that together, HOA if there is one. As long as it's one-to-one, they're happy, and you can get a loan on that property. I'm going to set the stage. We're going to head into a break here in a minute, but I want to set the stage by describing the process, and then we'll discuss these three products with that respect. Just at a very upper level, we've already hinted at this already. We're looking for houses that are distressed, houses that need work. And if they need enough work, I cannot just go out and put a regular conventional loan onto that property, meaning I can't just go pay 20% down, done. And even if I did, I'd be paying 20. Let's go back to our example. House worth 250, it needs some work, so I get it for 150, right? So I put 20% down. That's 30K out of pocket right there. Plus now I have to front the repairs, right? In this example, I think I was around 50. So now I'm 80K out of pocket going straight conventional. Typically we don't do that. You would use that on a rent ready house. 20% down, done. All right. But that's our process. Buy with hard money because we need work. We'll define the hard money here in a minute. Do our renovations. And when the house is fully stabilized and looks the way we want it to look, we go and do a refinance. We get out of that hard money and into a 30-year product. And that may be the conventional one. That may be the DSCR product. And if the rehab is big, you will absolutely have to use some form of private lending. And hard money, that's what it is. It's a private loan. It's not a regulated thing. Your bank's not going to do this for you. They may have some products. We've talked to members that are in some remote places like Clint from Mississippi. He's gotten some loans where his bank has provided these small regional banks. But commonly, we're going in with hard money. And hard money is simply a construction loan. It's very short term. It's designed to get us in there and get those renovations done. That loan, if your spread is big enough, that loan is going to cover both your purchase price and your repairs. That's when you start getting into those really low out-of-pockets. Sometimes it'll cover purchase and some of the repairs. And you may need to bring a little more out-of-pocket, right? It depends on your goals and what you're working with. But we're going to need hard money to address the condition of the property because Fannie Mae, who typically is who you would use when you think about a conventional loan, that's the Fannie Mae-backed loans that your big banks give and your small banks give, and there are lots of lenders out there. They won't loan on houses that need foundation work or even have one single broken window or no carpet in one of the bedrooms. If you can see the slab and it's not that refinished, nice, polished slab with paint and whatnot, not going to lend. Not insurable. Fannie Mae won't touch it. So in these situations, we absolutely have to use hard money. And like I said, there are situations where regardless, it makes sense from a numbers perspective. So who might use this? Well, anybody buying rental property that needs any kind of work. Is it hard to qualify? It is not hard to qualify. In fact, most hard money lenders, they know they don't want you in this loan more than a couple of months. So yes, it is high interest, 12, 13, 14%. But if you're only in it for 2 to 3 months, who cares? cost of doing business, moving on, wash, rinse, repeat. You just want to keep going as fast as you can. And hard money allows you to do this. And they want you out very quickly as well because they want velocity of money. They want to turn their money. So what do they want to see? And they may want to see some reserves in the bank. They're going to have some qualification process. But the big thing that a hard money lender wants to see is that you can exit their product, that you can get into that 30-year debt. And that might be a conventional loan with Fannie Mae type product, or that might be that DSCR loan that we talked about. Both of those will be 30-year, or can be, should be, right? You want as large an amortization as you can, because that will lower your mortgage payment and increase your cash flow. Even if I plan to hold it for 2-3 years, I want 30-year debt in place. Now, conventional and DSCR, let's talk about qualifying. Are those hard to qualify for? It's a mixed bag. Not everybody can get the Fannie Mae financing. If you have a good debt-to-income ratio right now, and if you have W-2 income, meaning you have a regular paycheck, I personally can no longer qualify for Fannie Mae loans because I'm real estate retired. I make all of my income from my houses, from my apartment investments. I don't have that W-2. So I cannot use that. If you are a contractor and you have a business and you write off a lot of expenses because you don't want to pay taxes at the end of the year, you won't qualify either. So typically the person using Fannie Mae is the person that's working right now, working to get out of that job, in fact. When my wife and I started, she did a house in her name, I did a house in my name. You can separate those. You don't both have to be on the mortgage. And you can do up to 10 Fannie Mae-backed mortgages in your name. So she could do 10, I could do 10. That's the cheap money. So if you can do that, do that. And there are two scenarios when you would use conventional. We're buying hard money, fixing up the property, addressing all those things that Fannie Mae does not like. We're pushing up the value. We're adding value through the process. That's what creates our equity capture. And when we're done with the renovations, we refinance out of that hard money. And this is our preferred scenario. Buy with hard money, fix it up, refinance into Fannie Mae, a conventional loan, if you can. There's another scenario when you might use a conventional loan, and I hinted at this. This is where it's rent ready. You can go pay your 20% down and just go from there. You will have more cash invested. You will not be able to do as many properties, right, with that same pool of cash if you follow this model. But some people have a lot of cash and they want rent ready and they buy new houses, new builds, stuff like that, just for the cash flow. But you're going to miss out on the equity plays if you do that. Our preferred scenario, again, is buy with hard money, do the work, refinance into conventional. But for those that cannot get that conventional loan, I mentioned some of, I'm one of them. I did a number of cash out refinances on existing properties last year, and I had to use DSCR loans. Again, that's debt service coverage ratio. So who's using this? That person that has low personal income. So their debt to income ratio is not good, right? Or that person that does not have that W-2 job. DSCR is made for you. Who offers DSCR loans? Everybody offers DSCR loans. This was a new product. I don't even know when, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. Everybody has these now. You go talk to pretty much anybody and you'll be able to get this product. And it's an interesting one because there's a lot of variety out there. So you really need to think about, what do I want when it comes to a DSCR loan? You can say, hey, I hold the house in my personal name and I want to keep it that way for flexibility or whatever. There are DSCR products that will lend to you in your personal name. And there are other DSCR products that say, no, this is a commercial loan. We will only lend to you if that product is held in an LLC. So something to find out before you go buy that house potentially. So we talk about, do I need an LLC? And commonly the answer is no. Don't waste your time. It's more convoluted. It's more complicated. But if you're working with a DSCR lender that does require that, then yes, you will need an LLC. So know what you're looking for. Some will have a prepayment penalty. Some will not. Typically, they'll let you buy down the rate. So if you know you're going to hold this for a longer period of time, then you may want to buy down the rate. Typically, I think about the break-even point on a buy down is around year 3. Talk with your lender. They can run those numbers for you. But different scenarios there, right? Got good income, got a good DTI, go with conventional, go with Fannie Mae. Don't have those things in place, are self-employed, go with the DSCR. But get qualified for both and then talk with your hard money lender. It's not hard to get qualified with most hard money lenders that I know. And if you don't know a hard money lender and you don't know who some of these other lenders are and you are a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, get onto the portal online and go out to the vendor marketplace, search for hard money. search for conventional, search for, I don't know, is it DSCR? I don't know how they have that listed there, but you can find a list. And I mean, lenders are, throw a rock, you're going to find one. You just want to find a good one. So hard money to buy, handle the renovations, get those done, and then refinance into a conventional loan or a DSCR product. And the bottom line, even though you have two closes, is your cash out of pocket is going to be much, much lower in this scenario. So you'll go out and be able to then go do a second house and a third house. I told you when I got to house number four, man, I felt more comfortable than with just house number one and house number two. Talk about house number 10, even better. More cash flow coming in, watching those equity plays, watching that equity gain. Man, huge. And don't forget the tax advantages. And that takes me to something I've been hinting at. One of the big tax advantages that we have as investors that use financing is that we can expense the mortgage interest when we do our year-end filing with the IRS. And that reduces my income. I mean, it's a cash expense. It absolutely reduces my income. But I can expense that. Now, the cash buyer obviously does not have a mortgage in place, so there is no mortgage interest to expense. And here's where I learned something very interesting. I did not know this. Dozen plus years of doing this. I guess I've never bought in this way, so maybe it didn't apply. But when I was at the Wealth and Passive Income Expo, this is, a month or so ago now, I went to a seminar. One of the breakout sessions was on taxes, federal taxes, and some of the things we can use, some of the tools. Do I want to become a real estate professional? Do I not? What are some of the ins and outs? And the presenter, very smart guy, very sharp, very good presentation. He brought something up. He said, if you originally acquire a property all cash and then do a cash out refinance, now you have mortgage debt, you've got principal pay down, you've got mortgage interest. He said the IRS looks at how you originally acquired this property to determine whether you can use that expense. And if you started as an all-cash buyer, did a refi, that mortgage interest is not expensable. Not an expense you can use. Now, I'm not a CPA. This guy was. I'm not a CPA. Go talk to yours. See how they view this. Actually, I did some online digging. There's some nuances to this. It can even come down to how you use, if you do a cash out refinance on a property with existing debt, how you then go to use that cash that you pulled out can impact whether that is expensable or not. But it's just one more strike in my book against cash buyers. You know, my thesis, and really the thesis of thousands of members at Lifestyles Unlimited, they would agree with me, using leverage or financing far outpaces buying a rental property all cash. Even if you plan to do a cash-out refinance once it's seasoned in, 6 months, 12 months, you may not be able to deduct that mortgage interest. That goes away. You know, this is just one of many things I've learned as a member at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you want to become the best investor you can be, check us out. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Check out their free workshop. Tune in next week. We'll talk more. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.